The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... shall inherit the earth, it is written. It is also believed that the weak shall ultimately triumph over the strong. Of course, the word to pay attention to here is ultimately. While it's reassuring to know that the meek shall inherit the earth in the long run, it's pretty discouraging to realize that we're in for a long, long wait. You and I probably won't even be around to see it. But perhaps in a century or two, things will really start rolling.
But why?
Because it's wrong to be in love with an enemy.
An enemy?
One who can destroy an entire world is called an enemy.
What world?
My world, Manitou.
But why? How would I destroy your world?
So easily, you would not even know you were doing it.
Mystery drama, The Magic Stick of Manitou, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Victoria Dunn and stars Keir DeLay and Fred Gwynn. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Working hard to keep on trying. Don't want to break, there's no denying. So get the taste that's satisfying.
Cleaning up your garden tools, bikes, and other outdoor items might help keep them close to home, but it won't keep them out of sight or out of the weather. So True Value Hardware Store suggests you store them safely inside a sturdy Arrow storage building. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you these rugged galvanized steel buildings assemble easily with ordinary hand tools and help protect your valuables for years against theft and weather damage. See the selection of sizes and styles at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers. And say that Pat Summerall sent you.
Jewels, a cake for your daughter's birthday, your favorite late-night snack.
Jewels, your Sunday roast beef dinner, school lunches that you pack.
We've been a friend of the family for 50 years. Your friend of the family, Jewels.
This week, Jewel has a breakfast special for your family. It's bacon and eggs. Through Wednesday, a carton of one dozen Hill Farm Grade A large eggs is just 77 cents. Country-style sliced bacon is only 99 cents a pound. And those are two breakfast companions from your friend of the family, Jewel.
Jewel's your anniversary dinner. Jewel's your backyard barbecue. The fixings that you pack up for those picnics at the zoo.
A million stars glitter against the black velvet sky like gems in a jewel case. Through the thick domed window, it is obvious that there is also a magnificent party. The guests wear their most dazzling gowns and the most elegant silver and crystal ornament the tables. And why not? This is the most glamorous event of the social season. But we are not atop the highest hotel in New York City, nor are we in London or Paris. It is 300 years in the future. And we are not even on Earth.
Would Madame care for another drink?
No, thank you.
A glass of champagne, perhaps?
No, nothing, please. Oh, just a moment.
Yes, madame?
How do I get out of here?
Madame wishes to leave?
Yes.
Madame is not enjoying the party?
No.
Perhaps madame would care for some fresh air.
Fresh air?
Through the corridor, there is a small terrace. If madame would just turn left at the end of the passageway...
Why don't you show me?
I am just a waiter.
Oh, you'd rather not.
I did not say that. I merely stated that I am just a waiter.
Oh, really? I understand.
Madame, you do not understand.
Don't call me Madame. It sounds like I'm 10,000 years old. My name is...
I know your name, Miss Averill.
Right now I feel 10,000 years old, and I bet I'm younger than you.
You're quite correct.
And I'm not bad-looking, either.
You are the loveliest woman in the galaxy.
Oh!
Forgive me, I have spoken too much already.
No, that's all right. It's just...
There you are.
Oh, Mr. Brock, were you looking for me?
Was I looking for? What kind of a question is that? Of course I was. What do you want?
I was just refilling Madame's glass, sir.
Yeah. Well, how long exactly does that take? You've been loitering here for almost 5 minutes.
If you will excuse me.
That was extremely rude of you, Mr. Brock.
Listen, the man is not employed to mingle with the guests.
Well, that's none of your business.
He was mingling with you, Miss Averill, and that... is my business.
What does that mean?
Well, someone in your position.
Must we go through that again?
Now, look, you are a diplomat and there are certain codes of behavior.
No one tells me how to behave. Do you understand that? No one.
Wait a minute. You forget who you are, Miss Averill. The Minister of Culture for this entire quadrant of the galaxy. You represent...
It's hardly necessary to furnish me with a job description.
Well, sometimes you need to be reminded that you are no longer a performer.
I am reminded every day.
And that this is not the dance theater of Mars.
Every day, every hour, every moment. How could I forget?
And also, that conduct that might have been perfectly acceptable in a traveling ballet company is considered quite bohemian for the Minister of Culture.
Bohemian. There's a word you don't hear anymore.
It's disturbing that you don't take any advice more seriously.
Oh, how can I? You presume a great deal, Mr. Brock.
Well, I feel it's my duty.
Your duty is to represent the Ministry of Trade. I think you'd have enough to worry about without concerning yourself with the Ministry of Culture.
I want to concern myself about the Minister of Culture.
Mr. Brock.
Listen. In the past 6 months that we have traveled together on this government mission...
Mr. Brock, we have already discussed this.
We have been going from planet to planet and spending so much time in the same spaceship.
Speaking of the spaceship, aren't we supposed to be taking off in the morning?
You're changing the subject.
I've been nervous about it all night.
Nervous about what?
Manitou.
Oh, Manitou. You mean the next planet on our agenda?
Well, how can you stand there and act so blasé?
It's just another Class 7 planet.
Just another... Listen, Brock, I've made up my mind. I'm not going.
What? You're not going?
Don't try to change my mind. You should hear what they're saying about that place.
I can't imagine what you've heard. Manitou is a peaceful little world, inhabited by a gentle... primitive humanoids.
You forgot to add that visitors have a strange habit of disappearing once they get there.
Nonsense.
I was talking to the Governor General tonight. He informed me that his sphere of influence is limited. He cannot guarantee our safety once we land on Manitou.
You worry too much.
Well, somehow I don't think it is just gossip.
Well, believe me, if it were that dangerous, the government would not send us there.
I'm not so sure.
And what exactly does that mean?
We are expendable.
Miss Averill.
What are we? We're just a part of a succession of diplomats. We're not irreplaceable.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I guess you wouldn't understand, Mr. Brock. That's why we've always had this problem.
What problem?
Communicating. And now, if you'll excuse me, I really think I need some fresh air.
Averill.
Oh, it's you.
I saw you leaving the party.
Lovely out here, isn't it?
Yes, lovely.
I'm so sorry about the way Mr. Brock spoke to you before.
It is of no consequence.
You won't get into trouble for being out here, will you?
That, too, is of little consequence.
What is of any consequence?
Only that your mind be set at ease.
How do you know that my mind isn't...
You are afraid. You have heard stories about a place you are to visit.
That's right.
It is called Manitou. fifth planet from the sun.
Yes.
The story is that you have heard that some who go there never return.
Well, people talk very loudly at parties, don't they?
These are very old stories. One hears them all the time.
You mean they're not true?
No, they are true.
Well, that does it, then. I'm definitely not going.
That would be a mistake.
Why?
Because perhaps if you went there, you wouldn't wish to come back.
You sound as if you've been to Manitou.
I have.
You?
Don't look so astonished. I have traveled extensively throughout the galaxy.
Oh, well, I didn't mean it that way.
Of course not, Miss Avedon. It is not in your nature to be unkind. But to explain about my traveling, you see, I spent 10 years as a steward on some of the great space cruisers. I've been to the Beta Hydra system, to Centauri, to Mars, and even Earth. And that's where I first saw you.
You saw me before tonight?
It was in the city of, Omaha. You were performing in a ballet called, I believe, Swan Lake.
Yes, Swan Lake.
I don't think I've ever seen anything so beautiful.
Well, those days are over.
Forgive me. I should not have stirred old memories.
They're over. They'll never come back.
I'm sorry to have spoken of it.
And so the government gives me a consolation prize in recognition of my contribution to the arts. I am appointed Minister of Culture at Large. And I'm supposed to be honored because I've been recycled. Grateful because I'm still alive. After all, as everybody keeps telling me, not many people survive accidents like the one I was in. You were saying about Manitou.
It can be a frightening place.
I thought you wanted to set my mind at ease.
It can also be a joyful place, a gentle place.
Now I'm confused.
That is why you must go there, to clear up your confusion.
Why do I get the impression that we're talking about two different things, Mr... I don't know your name.
Idri.
Well, Mr. Idri.
It is just Idri.
Oh, how unusual.
Not where I come from.
And where do you come from?
Miss Averill, perhaps you should be returning to the party.
Aren't you going to answer my question?
Your colleague, Mr. Brock, will be wondering where you have gone.
Let him wonder.
But I assumed...
You assumed what?
I was under the impression that...
Yes?
That you and he...
Our relationship is strictly professional.
Ah. I am pleased to learn of this.
Are you?
I beg your pardon, Miss Abadil. I should not be out here talking of such things.
Oh. I see.
No, I don't believe you do.
It's because I'm a cabinet minister, and you're a level 3 food attendant.
No.
Of course, like everybody else in this part of the galaxy, you're obsessed by some idiotic class system.
The truth has nothing to do with insignificant, arbitrary social stratifications.
Then what is the truth?
The feelings that I have, that I've always had for you, are wrong.
You mean you've always... Why? Why are they wrong?
Because it is wrong to be in love with an enemy.
An enemy?
One who can destroy an entire world is called an enemy.
What world?
My world. Manitou.
Ask a strange question, and it seems you always get a strange answer. The words love and enemy, one must admit, are not commonly found in the same sentence. According to Mr. Oscar Wilde, however, a man cannot be too careful in his choice of enemies. And this man called Idri, it appears, has not exactly gone out of his way to avoid Miss Averill. Precisely what he has to fear from her will have to wait until I return with Act 2.
Tuesday on CBS Television, meet QED, a scientific genius, an adventurer for hire, with one flaw.
I can't stand to see other people louse things up.
With his able assistant, Phipps, they launch the 20th century off with a bang as they help a beautiful woman find her missing brother, which leads to a secret army and a mad scientist.
You'll be killing and maiming hundreds of men and women, thousands, I hope.
It's action, adventure. It's QED, Tuesday at 8, 7 Central and Mountain, on CBS Television.
I'm Beverly Sills. You know, just living has taught me to appreciate the value of every baby's life and its potential talent. There have been many writers, painters, and musicians who have shown us all what the struggle over handicaps is like. I've seen similar triumphs through the March of Dimes. As national chairman for the Mother's March on Birth Defects, I ask you to volunteer for the Mother's March this year. The March of Dimes saves babies. You can help. Please.
This is WBBM Chicago.
Chicago, the clock is ticking and time's running out as the hour draws near for Lamp and Lantern's huge $1 million inventory reduction sale. Starting this Thursday at 10 a.m. and running for the next 40 hours only until Sunday at 5, Lamp and Lantern is drastically reducing over $1 million worth of inventory. Everything from light bulbs to light fixtures, from crystal chandeliers to Casablanca ceiling fans. And Lamp and Lantern invites you to tag along for 40, 50, 60, even 70% savings. That's right, up to 70% off. Here's just a sampling. Stifel lamps, Lamp and Lantern reduced 40%. Casablanca ceiling fans reduced 50%. Quoizel brass lamps, Lamp and Lantern reduced 60%. And selected brand name lamps and fixtures reduced by 70%. Lamp and Lantern's $1 million reduction sale. Don't miss it. Shop Lamp and Lantern South in Orland Park, 157th in Harlem, West in Lombard, and Northwest in Roselle. Call 429-0840 for exact locations.
The year is 2288. And not only has man thrown his rockets to the moon, but he has also succeeded in sending his spacecraft to Mars, Jupiter, and solar systems beyond. Earth colonies span the many asteroids and planets circling stars, other than the one we call the Sun. And on one of these small outposts, on a world too insignificant to mention, Miss Arlene Averill, a traveling diplomat, has just been confronted with a rather perplexing situation. One does not often receive a declaration of war and a declaration of love in the same breath.
You come from the planet Manitou?
Yes.
Well, how can that be? You look human.
I could say the same thing about you, Miss Averill.
Well, it's just that I didn't realize that the natives of Manitou looked so much like...
Natives? What an interesting word. Yes, we look like Earth people.
Yet you are working here as a level 3 food attendant.
It was necessary in order to meet you.
And now that you've met me, you stand here and you call me your enemy.
Yes.
And you tell me that I can destroy you.
No, that is not what I said.
Oh?
Miss Arlene Averill, the woman, cannot destroy me. Miss Arlene Averill, the Minister of Culture, can destroy my world.
Why do you say these things to me? I've done nothing. I've said nothing.
It is not what you have done. It is what you will do. Tomorrow, you and Mr. Brock will travel to Manitou to investigate the possibility of establishing diplomatic relations.
And that makes me your enemy?
Possibly.
But our intentions are peaceful. I explore avenues of exchange between civilizations. You see, every planet has something unique to contribute, to share. Sometimes it's art, or a dance, or music.
Yes. Music. On Manitou, our music is our greatest joy.
Yes, but no one knows of this. Not even I until now.
With good reason.
And if one possesses a thing of beauty, what could be better than to share it with others?
Some things are private, personal. They are not meant to be shared. That is why your good intentions can be dangerous.
Idri, this doesn't make any sense.
Because we have not added the final ingredient. Mr. Brock, the Minister of Trade. What function does he perform?
He negotiates trade treaties on behalf of the Galactic Colonial Council.
That assumes the people of Manitou wish to trade.
Well, why wouldn't they?
And what exactly would we be trading?
Well, I don't know. I mean, whatever valuable resources your planet has to offer.
In exchange for what?
Anything you want.
And what if we do not want anything?
Oh, surely you need certain things. Money, food, medical
supplies. We do not need these things.
Well, of course you do. Everybody does.
Then you have decided.
Yes.
And you are coming to Manitou.
Yes. Actually, I have no choice. My orders are to proceed there as soon as possible.
I also have no choice.
What do you mean?
Shouldn't that be obvious? I am going with you.
Captain, why this interminable delay?
We're operating with half a crew, Mr. Brock.
Half a crew? That's outrageous.
A lot of men called in sick. You know how it is.
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Well, actually, it's to be expected. I assure you, we don't often have this problem, but we always have it on this particular route. Nobody wants to go.
I don't understand, Captain.
A lot of the men are afraid, sir.
Afraid? Afraid of what?
I'm sure you know all the stories.
Captain, that's all they are. Stories.
Not quite true. The past 10 years, I'd say we've lost about a dozen crewmen.
What do you mean, lost?
Exactly what I said. The ship stops off on Manitou. A few of the guys want to take a look around, stretch their legs. Some of them never come back.
Well, what do you think happens to them?
I don't know. But if you want the truth, I'd rather not think about it.
Well, you don't suppose they're killed, do you?
Yeah, we're about ready to leave, sir. I suggest you secure the liftoff.
Food dispenser. I programmed it for roast beef, and all I got is scrambled eggs. Doesn't anything work on this ship?
I'll see what I can do about it, sir.
Push all the buttons you want, doesn't do any good. I already... Hey, wait a minute.
It appears to be a faulty circuit. I'll send up a technician.
Wait a minute. You're that waiter. Yeah, last week at the reception on Epsilon 40. What are you doing on this ship?
As you can see, I work here.
You certainly get around, don't you?
Actually, I am on my way home.
Now, why should that interest me?
My home happens to be your destination, Manitou.
You mean you live there?
I was born there, Mr. Brock.
Born there? Hey, then that would make you one of the natives.
That word again. Yes, Mr. Brock, I am one of the natives. And I recommend you talk to me with a little less belligerence and a little more tact. After all, you are a diplomat.
So what does that have to do with you?
It might interest you to know I am to serve as your guide, the liaison, if you will, between your government and the people of Manitou.
On whose authority?
My credentials, Mr. Brock. But since they're not written in the universal language, I hardly expect you to understand them.
All right. Well, I'll take your word for it. So, what happens when we land?
That depends.
On what?
On whether or not my people like you.
Listen, this is my business. I don't care if they like me or not.
That won't do. Oh, no, sir, that won't do at all. The tone in your voice is most irritating.
Yeah, well, that's the way I talk. There's nothing I can do about that.
I suggest you try. My people are very sensitive to sound.
Yeah, well, I can't help that. What do you want me to do? Get a new voice?
Perhaps if you spoke a little softer, a little gentler.
I don't need you to tell me how to speak.
We will be landing later in the afternoon. Until then, Mr. Brock. Please, come in, Alena. I mean, Miss Arabin.
I didn't even know you were aboard.
It is a rather large ship.
and you have obviously been avoiding me.
Perhaps.
I found out from Brock that... Is it true that you are the official liaison?
Yes.
And what's going to happen?
As I told your colleague, it all depends.
On what?
On you, Miss Avery.
Huh. One minute it's Alena, and the next minute it's Miss Avril. Now make up your mind, Edrie.
I cannot.
I thought you cared about me.
I do.
You certainly don't act it.
I love you. I want to protect you. But I also love Manitou and wish to protect it.
What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid that I might have to make a choice between the two.
But why must there be any choice at all?
Alena, I beg you to reconsider. When we land on my planet, stay aboard the ship.
But I've got a job to do.
I haven't been completely honest with you. There is something that you must know about Manitou.
What?
When I first spoke to you the night of the party, I said our music was our greatest joy.
Yes, I remember.
But when I told you that we did not like to share with others this special gift, it was not quite true. My people are more than willing to share their music with others.
Oh, that's wonderful. Then there isn't any problem.
It is Mr. Brock. I hope when the time comes that you will understand this.
When what time comes?
I cannot tell you anymore.
When what time comes, Edrie? Tell me. Please.
Mr. Brock, now that we've landed on Manitou, I'd like to remind you and the members of your party that we cannot be responsible for your safety.
You have reminded me during the entire trip, Captain.
This ship will remain here for 1 week before continuing on to the next destination. If you want my advice...
Captain, I'm not interested in your advice. Miss Avril, we're waiting for you.
I'm right here, Mr. Brock.
Where's that self-proclaimed guide of yours?
Behind you, sir.
Yeah. Well, how about we get a move on,
As you wish.
I've only got a week.
That's quite true.
Yeah, just 1 week to see if this place has anything worth negotiating a treaty about.
Indeed, sir. 1 week is certainly all the time you have.
So, where is everybody? Your natives.
That word again.
Yeah, and the buildings. Don't you have any buildings? Houses? Huts?
Beyond that hill, in the forest.
How primitive are your people, Edrie?
Very, by your standards. Are you quite sure you wish to accompany us, Alena?
No. So now it's Alena.
Yes, I'm sure.
What's that?
The drums are playing a welcome.
That's a good sign, isn't it?
It is not a welcome for you. It is a welcome for me.
Well, what are we waiting for? How about taking us to your leader?
Very well. Follow me.
Okay, how much further is it?
Only through this glade.
You suppose that we could just rest for a moment?
We are almost there, Alena.
Is this it?
We are here.
Yeah. Not much of a town, is it?
I think it's lovely. Thatched cottages, flowers. It reminds me of a storybook. That's what it's like, an old-fashioned storybook village.
Yeah. So these are your people, huh?
Yes.
Awfully quiet, aren't they?
They cannot speak until the king has spoken. It is the custom.
Which one is the king? The one with a beard 3 feet long? He must be 200 years old if he's a day.
No, that is Tashti, the great sage.
Where is the king, Edrie?
Actually, Aleda, he's right here. That's something else I did not tell you. I am the king.
The time has come to talk of many things, said the walrus. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax, of cabbages and kings. Of course, in our story, we are only interested in the last item. Our enigmatic friend, Idri, seems to be delivering one surprise after another. As long as we're quoting Mr. Lewis Carroll, it's safe to add that things are becoming curiouser and curiouser. Where exactly they'll lead is anybody's guess, until I come back shortly with Act Three.
Hi, I'm Lyman Saunders. This is Heartbeat. Are you depressed? Is it hard to get out of bed in the morning? Do you look forward to, well, nothing? Perhaps some chain of events, something you couldn't control, has affected your life. Maybe you've lost your job or experienced the death of a family member or a friend. Whatever the cause, you're depressed. You're not able to shake the feeling of gloom that hangs over your head. Well, I've got news for you, and it's good news. There's a way to handle your depression. And here's one idea. Decide that you have the ability to decide what your life is going to be like and how you're going to feel about life. To get more suggestions on how to handle depression, just put the word depression on a postcard or in a letter and send it to me at this address. Heartbeat, Hartford, Connecticut, 06142. Ask for the depression plan. It's free. The address, Heartbeat, Hartford, Connecticut, 06142. This is Heartbeat.
Hermans, we are sports. We got your number if you're into sports. We're all sports. Hermans, we are sports.
We are all sports, and during Herman's store-wide spring sale happening right now, everything you need for every sport you play is on sale. If you're looking for fishing gear, Herman's has the Abu Garcia Cardinal 753 freshwater spinning reel on sale for just $19.99. It was $29.99. And the Abu Garcia matching graphite rod is at the same great price. Usually $29.99, now just $19.99. So you get both the Abu Garcia 753 reel and matching graphite rod for less than $40 during Herman's store-wide spring sale. You'll save on lots of rods and reels, and many come with special factory rebates directly from Abu Garcia, so you save even more. Don't miss Herman's store-wide spring sale, where you'll save on everything you need for your favorite sport.
Herman's, we are sports!
Herman's, we are sports.
Theme in legend and folklore concerned princes and kings who, tiring of their lives at the royal courts, would don elaborate disguises and travel about the land incognito. 300 years in the future, we have just been introduced to another such king. Instead of traveling the land, however, he has traveled the galaxy. But this story is not exactly a fairy tale. In fact, in a moment, you may discover that what it actually resembles is a nightmare.
You're the king.
Is this true, Idri?
Yes.
Why didn't you tell me?
It was not important.
Huh. I didn't even know this planet had a king.
It was not necessary for you to know.
Yeah, well, you could have saved me a lot of time and trouble. We could have negotiated our trade agreement back there on Epsilon 40.
And the people, what are they saying?
It is Mr. Brock's voice.
What about my voice?
My people find it disturbing. What word may I use? Dissonant.
Oh. Oh, how beautiful. I've never heard music like that before.
Sounds like an ordinary flute to me.
No, Mr. Brock. Can't you tell a difference?
As far as I'm concerned, a flute is a flute.
Strikes like a dancer is a dancer. Well, there are ordinary dancers, and then there are extraordinary dancers, and there's a world of difference. World of difference.
The instrument being played by that boy is called a leia.
Leia? How beautiful.
In our language, it means magic stick.
I know now what you meant when you said music was your greatest joy. Oh, Idri, you must allow your people to share that music with the rest of the galaxy.
Our music is a very private, personal thing.
Oh, so lovely. Leia, magic stick. Even the instrument itself is beautiful. What's it made of?
It's
carved so exquisitely.
Yeah. It's all very lovely, but very quaint. Do you think we can get down to business now?
I don't believe you're making a very good impression, Mr. Brock. You really must try to be a little less discordant. I have told you my people are very sensitive to sound.
Listen, my voice is my voice, and there's not much I can do about it.
There is one thing you can do about it.
What?
Not talk.
Now, look here, you... Your Highness...
I sincerely recommend you take my advice, Mr. Brock. Kashti!
Welcome home, Your Most Reverend Highness.
It is with great delight that I return, most noble and wisest father.
Who are these strangers you have brought among us, Idri?
Kashti, I present to you Arlena Averill.
Ah, a most melodious name.
And this is Mr. Brock.
Brock. This is a name with a voice to match, I fear.
We will not speak of this now.
Forgive me, Your Majesty, but...
Later, Tashti.
Something wrong, Idri?
No. Nothing. Nothing at all. Arlena.
Good morning, Idri.
Have you seen Mr. Brock?
I believe he went for a walk.
A walk?
Mm-hmm. That sweet old man, the one called Tashti, is showing him around.
You do not seem as unhappy as you were that night at Omicron 40.
Well, I'm not.
Perhaps it is because you do not feel the pain anymore.
What pain?
You are a dancer who can no longer dance.
Oh. That pain.
I remember that pain because I know it all too well.
Oh, how, Idri, how could you possibly know what it feels like? To fly, to float, the magic... And then to lose it all because of some senseless, stupid accident. Oh, modern medical science is a wonderful thing. Afterwards, there were just no scars and barely any limp. But that imperceptible something, the magic, was taken away, and I was left ordinary.
But, Arlena, I know what it is like to lose the magic.
Oh, how can you?
You see, I, too... had a gift. My gift was music. Listen. Do you hear that boy play? 10 years ago, I played in such a way. It was magic. And just like you, I flew. My heart touched the top of the trees, the stars. And one day, I too had lost it. My hand was badly crushed in an accident, every bit as senseless as yours. But there are no sophisticated doctors on Manitou. And later, as I traveled through the galaxy, the hand and the fingers were replaced. But the magic is gone.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Idri. I had no idea. I
left my people, my planet, to seek out new magic. I found it the first time... I saw you dance.
Oh.
And later, in a museum which houses many great art treasures of Earth, I saw the magic in some ancient paintings. And suddenly, the pain was gone, Arlena, because I knew the magic was still there. Maybe not in me, but somewhere else.
I think I understand.
That's why I wanted you to come here, to hear the magic.
Idri, something is wrong, and I think you better tell me what it is.
Arlena, I told you before, we are a primitive planet. Our culture, Arlena, is primitive.
Idri, what is it?
It is something terrible.
Terrible?
Haven't you wondered how we make this beautiful music? How we make the Leia? Why it is called the magic stick?
I think you had better tell me.
Arlena, you will find out soon enough.
Hey, Tashti, Slow down, will you?
You wish to see as much of the forest as possible in as short a period of time, and I am obliging you.
Yeah, yeah, all right. Just give me a minute, too, to catch my breath, will you?
What is that machine you are using?
It's called a mineral indicator.
A what?
It shows the exact location and quantity of various metals and precious stones.
Ah.
Hey. Hey. You know, we're standing right over the richest norrenium vein in this solar system.
Interesting. What is norrenium?
Norrenium? It's used to power our spaceships, Tashti. And over there... Over there, about 20 feet down, is more gold.
Obviously, you place a great deal of value in these things.
This is better than I hoped for, I'll tell you.
Really?
Oh, boy, once we negotiate this trade agreement, your people are going to be rich beyond your wildest dreams.
Rich?
Yeah, rich. As in money.
Money? What is money?
It's a medium of exchange.
What do you exchange?
Whatever you want. All you have to do is name it.
What if we do not want anything?
Everybody wants something, Tashti.
And you want what is under the ground.
And don't worry. I'm sure you and I can reach some equitable agreement.
What if we are not interested in such an arrangement?
Well, I'm sure then we could convince you.
Convince us?
We can use power when we're forced to. Only as a last resort, of course, Mr. Tashti. You see, we need that norrenium.
I see.
And if you cooperate, we can work something out to our mutual advantage. Yeah. If you know what I mean.
Yes, I think I am beginning to understand all too well.
Well, Miss Avril, while you were busy doing nothing, I have spent the entire day putting together my report. And I may tell you, it is highly impressive. These savages are sitting on a treasure house and don't even know it.
Mr. Brock, I hope you showed a little tact. These people are very sensitive.
Sensitive? They're like little children.
You just can't bulldoze everything in your path.
Why not? These people are living over the richest vein of norrenium. Do you know how much money we're talking about here? And these people don't even care. Can you believe it? Money means nothing to them.
Please lower your voice.
You and I, Arlena, we can get a cut of this. Can you imagine how rich you and I can be?
I don't want anything from you.
Yeah, sure, sure. You'd rather sit with that string bean who calls himself a king for reasons which completely escape me and listen to music to charm snakes by. I simply don't understand you anymore. Now what?
Most noble and reverend King Idri, your people have made their judgment.
I implore the people to reconsider.
We must protect ourselves from those who would encroach upon us.
Yes, Tashti, I know. Do what you must.
What is going on, Idri?
Mr. Brock, you have been warned.
What are you talking about?
We did not invite you to our planet. You came here of your own volition. You did not ask permission. You simply came. And in doing so, you have greatly offended the people of Manitou.
How have I offended anyone?
You possess one grievous fault, Mr. Brock. You cannot or will not hear the music.
I haven't got the vaguest idea.
We ask you now to leave us, to walk down that path through the glade towards your spaceship and never return to us again.
This is ridiculous.
You cannot or will not hear the music.
You people are crazy.
Leave us. Leave us this moment. Your very presence here is offensive.
Okay. Have it your way. I'll leave. But I guarantee you, I'll be back.
I assure you, Mr. Brock, you will never return to us. That is, until you are a changed man.
Imperial Highness, allow me to escort this man through the glade. I would not wish him to lose his way.
Yes, Tashti. Show Mr. Brock the proper path.
I don't understand what could have happened to Brock.
Yes, it is very strange.
The captain says he never arrived at the ship.
How curious.
And I wonder what could have possessed him to run so fast. Mr. Tashti says he couldn't keep up with the pace and fell behind.
It is obvious that he has lost his way.
Yes, of course, that's what it was. He lost his way, but... Idri, is it really possible for a person to simply disappear?
Yes.
Without absolutely a trace?
Well, there is always a trace, I suppose. Ah, but now I see the captain is giving the signal to board. And you and I must say goodbye for the present.
After I finish my tour of duty, I would like very much to return to this planet.
And to me?
Yes, Idri. And to you. Oh, listen, the music. It's more beautiful than I've ever heard before.
It is a new melody. It has never been played before.
It's superb. Truly magic.
Also, it is a new layer.
You know, Idri, you never did tell me what they carve the magic stick from.
Bone.
What kind of bone?
Animal bone.
What kind of animal?
Alina, actually, that's an ancient Manitou secret. Perhaps one day, I will tell you.
And who knows? Maybe you will. Obviously, Miss Arlene Averill isn't the most observant person in the galaxy. Or maybe she's a lot smarter than we give her credit for. In any case, while it isn't obvious to her, it's obvious to me that while Mr. Brock never had a touch of harmony in his soul, he most certainly has music in his bones. I'll be back in a moment.
Everybody's talking about One of the Boys, the new Mickey Rooney show. New York Daily News calls Mickey the consummate performer. Hollywood Reporter calls One of the Boys electric. And audiences everywhere are falling in love with it.
No matter what age you are, how old you get, romance never stops. Good. When does it start?
Don't miss the show everyone's talking about, One of the Boys, with Mickey Rooney, Saturday at 8, 7 Central Time on NBC.
A Toy 2 production in association with Columbia Pictures Television.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a musical medley of toe-tapping heart songs. Everybody dance.
Heart of my heart.
It's funny. After all the songs written about the heart, you'd think we'd learn to take better care of it. This message brought to you by the American Heart Association, who ask you to tell those you love to take better care of their hearts. The American Heart Association, we're fighting for your life.
This is Gene King for your Better Business Bureau. If disaster struck your home, would you be able to report exactly what you lost to the police, the IRS, or to your insurance company? If not, then it's about time you took a few minutes and took a complete home inventory. To start, list the major items in each room of your house. Note the serial numbers and, where possible, purchase prices, present value, and the date purchased. If you have receipts for any of the items, it's a good idea to attach them. And to back up your written inventory, photograph the walls of each room with the closet or cabinet doors open. Now, on the back of each picture, write the date, the general location, and the contents shown. And you'd better make sure to keep two copies of the inventory, you see. One at home, so that you can update it periodically, and one away from the house in a safe deposit box. Don't lose it. You'll need it. A consumer tip from this station and your Better Business Bureau.
Music, said the poet, is the universal language of mankind. Mr. Longfellow probably had no idea how universal that language is destined to become. Radio waves now carry the music and sounds of Earth towards an infinity of uncharted worlds. Mankind messages travel on through the eternity called space. 300 years from today, who knows how far man himself will travel and what kinds of creatures he is destined to cross paths with. What is known, however, is that the greatest need of any civilization is to be able to communicate. Our cast included Kid Lay, Fred Gwynn, Marion Seldes, and Sam Gray. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Tammy Grimes, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Are you young enough to live at the Oak Park Arms Hotel? Listen to what these folks are saying about the most active retirement living in the Chicago area.
There are more friends, more things to do, and they could run you crazy if you did everything. It's a delightful place to live.
It's not too regimented. It's not like an institution. And I think it's wonderful.
It's very convenient to the shopping centers. We can get on the bus and go any place we want.
My daughter, she says, when you go there, you're going to have a ball. I have. Really have a great time.
I don't want the cooking and the washing of dishes and pans and whatnot, and it's very convenient not to have to do that.
If you can't find something that you like to eat, then you're awfully hard to please.
I've loved every day that I've been here. It's happiness to me.
If you're looking for the time of your life, call Shirley at the Oak Park Arms, 386-4040. That's the Oak Park Arms, 386-4040.
It's 21 minutes until 12 midnight. We're back in Chicago, and CBS News just a moment or so away. A military transport carrying military personnel crashed and burned this evening about 70 miles northwest of Chicago near Wonder Lake. Woodstock Police Sergeant Mike Fisher tells us...
It was a military aircraft that there were was a crew of seven and a passenger west of 13. And that's about it.
The craft is identified as a KC-135. It's a military version of the Boeing 707. It was making an approach to O'Hare Field when the crash occurred. We haven't determined if there are any survivors. WBBM's Marvin Mullins is en route to the scene, and we'll have updates later in the evening and through the morning. And now CBS News.
CBS News. Almost 2 years after Mount St. Helens first came back to life as a volcano, it has erupted again, sending a plume of ash into the air. I'm Judy Muller reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Linda Douglas reports from Portland.
The mountain erupted Friday night, spewing a cloud 45,000 feet into the air. The explosion is much more violent than they had predicted. Geologists had been monitoring St. Helens closely for 3 weeks, warning that increased seismic activity could lead to some kind of an eruption, although most believed it would be a gentle one, part of the dome-building process. Authorities have now warned residents along the Toodle River to evacuate, fearing melting snow from the mountain and mud flows may cause flooding. Loggers and others working near the mountain were told to leave Friday morning, and it's believed that no one is in the direct path of the flow. Residents of several towns to the southeast of the volcano have been warned an ash cloud may be heading their way. At this point, however, authorities still don't know how violent or extensive the eruption was, or if residents of any nearby areas are in danger. Linda Douglas, CBS News, Portland.
An Illinois National Guard plane crashed in northern Illinois Friday night. All those aboard, a crew of 7 and 13 passengers, were killed. The aircraft, the military equivalent of a Boeing 707, left Sawyer Air Force Base in northern Michigan and was bound for Chicago's O'Hare International Airport. It crashed in a field in Woodstock, Illinois, about 50 miles northwest of Chicago. More CBS News in a minute.
Weekends, there's a wealth of good listening on CBS Radio. Saturday, correspondent Fred Graham looks at the law and you, and Mike Wallace at Large talks with famous folks you'd like to know about. Lee Jordan's here in the spotlight with fascinating film reviews. And Steve Birnbaum takes you traveling to faraway places. Morley Safer's Journal comments on current events. And Charles Kuroff takes us down the byways on Dateline America. Then Sunday, there's more in store. Washington Watch with Bruce Morton. And Steve Birnbaum's back traveling with more vacation advice. Steve Scheuer's here with television watching, which is what to watch and what to watch out for in the TV week ahead. Then Mike Wallace is back with another intriguing profile. And CBS newsmen comment on a top news story on Correspondents' Corner. And to wrap it all up, there's Rob Armstrong with the World This Week. Plus, big sports doing...